الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليكرم ضيفه ومن كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فلا يؤذي جاره ومن كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقل خيرا أو ليصمت ومن كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليصل رحمه أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين My respected sisters in Islam السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ I have recited a hadith of the Prophet صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم narrated by Imam Bukhari رحمہ اللہ تعالی and Imam Muslim رحمه الله تعالى wherein رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم has discussed four injunctions and each one of them begins with these words man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir that is whosoever believes in Allah and the day of judgment whosoever believes in Allah On the day of judgment must do this. Whosoever believes in Allah on the day of judgment must do this. Whosoever believes in Allah on the day of judgment must do this. And whosoever believes in Allah on the day of judgment must do this. Every command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam or every injunction that he has discussed begins with this phrase Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir Repeating of the phrase with every injunction to show the importance of each injunction and it is just like a father saying to the son if you are my son then you will do this the father knows that he is his son if you are in reality my son if you are my loyal son then you will do this So whenever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam says one who believes in Allah then he will do this one who believes in Allah on the day of judgment will do this one who believes in Allah and his rasul will do this the meaning is that one who is totally obedient and totally loyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely carry out these injunctions So in order for one to know whether he or she is a perfect believer or not, he or she will have to assess his or her life and see whether these injunctions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam are being carried out by her or by him or not. Let us look at each of them in detail. The first one, whosoever believes in Allah and the Day of Judgment, man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir falyukrim dhayfahu, then he should treat his guest well. He should treat his guest with honor. He should treat his guest with hospitality. A perfect believer, a person who is totally loyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will always entertain his guest. He will always be kind to guests. He will always feel happy when a guest arrives at his home. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said in another hadith, La taj'alu buyutakum maqabira, do not make your houses graveyards. The commentators commenting on this hadith have mentioned various interpretations of this hadith. One interpretation is that when guests come to your house, then you should entertain them, you should honor them, you should feed them, and you should offer to them whatever is in your ability. And by not being hospitable to them, by not offering them food, by not being kind to them, by not entertaining them, don't make your homes like graveyards where no one entertains anybody. Now, what are the rights of a guest over a host? How should a guest treat a host? How should a host treat a guest when the guest arrives at his home? In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said that the host should treat his guest broad-mindedly. And he should also talk to him politely. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that he should welcome him and he should entertain him to such an extent that when the guest leaves the home of the host should accompany him up to the door. And Hazrat Uqba ibn Amir radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrates a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, whoever does not show hospitality to his guest is devoid of virtue. And Hazrat Samura ibn Jundub radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to entertain his guest with a feast. He used to become very happy, and whatever feast he could prepare for the guest, he would do so. And some ulama have narrated regarding Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu that Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was seen weeping once by people. And the people asked him the cause, why are you weeping? So Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said that I am weeping because 7 days have passed without my having entertained a guest. I have not had the opportunity of entertaining a guest because nobody has come to my home. And because guest is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so he was crying because he feared that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unhappy with him that he is not sending any guest to his home. So my respected sisters, this is the first lesson that we learn from this hadith, that those people who are complete believers in Allah, complete believers in the day of judgment, and who are always ready to prepare for that day, whenever guests will come to their home, they will become happy. And they will serve the guest to the best of their ability. Nowadays, because of negligence, because we have all become very conservative, very reserved, and because we do not want any burden on our shoulders, guests have become a very big burden. When guests come, we do not feel happy. And we feel inconvenienced. And then if we have to make something for them, if we have to serve them, if we have to feed them, then it becomes an even more bigger problem. Each and every Nabi that was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was generous. And each and every Nabi that was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was hospitable. It is narrated regarding Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam that he would never sit down for food without a guest. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always used to send someone at lunch, at supper, and he would sit down with the guest. It would make him very happy. Sometimes, if the guest did not arrive, then Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam would tell his wife that, hold on, I am coming after a while, and he would go looking for somebody who he could invite for food. So sisters, let us go with this firm resolution that from now, inshallah, we are blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with guests, then we will feel happy. And we will try our utmost to fulfill this injunction of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam that will make us perfect believers. Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhiri falyukrim dhaifa. One who believes in Allah and the day of judgment will treat his guest well. That is the first injunction. The second injunction, man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhiri fala yu'zi jarahu. One who believes in Allah and the day of judgment will refrain from causing difficulties to his neighbor. He will not cause harm to his neighbor. He will not be a means of inconvenience for his neighbor. He will not cause his neighbor any difficulty whatsoever. Now, in this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has mentioned the least of the obligations towards our neighbor. There are so many things we can do for our neighbor, and there are so many injunctions mentioned by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in regard to neighbors. But the least obligation that is upon us in regard to our neighbor is not to cause any difficulty to a neighbor. You don't feed him, you don't serve him, you are not too kind with him, you are not polite with him, you do not want to talk to him, whatever the case may be. But the least obligation that is upon us in regard to our neighbor is that we should not cause any difficulty to our neighbor. No difficulty whatsoever. I have just remembered a small story in which there is a very big lesson. A very pious saint complained a few times to his friends, to his associates, that he was facing difficulty because there were too many mice in his home. So somebody advised him that why don't you bring a cat in your house? So the saint said, no, I will never do that. I will tolerate the difficulty that I am going through. I will bear it with patience and have hope from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant me reward in the hereafter for the difficulty that I am enduring, but I will not bring a cat in my house. So they, after a few days again, the same complaint, the same request, and again the same decline. So they said, why? What is the problem with the cat? So he said, my fear is that if I bring a cat in my home, all the mice will run into the house of my neighbor. And my neighbor will face the same difficulty that I am facing at the moment. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said in a hadith, لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى يُحِبَّ لِأَخِيهِ مَا يُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِهِ, that one of you cannot become a complete believer until you do not love for your brother what you love for yourself. So there is a very great lesson in the action of this very pious saint. So I was saying, sisters, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said, one who believes in Allah and the Day of Judgment should not cause difficulty to his neighbor. So this is the least of the obligations towards our neighbor, that we do not cause him any difficulty. And in a hadith narrated by Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala and Imam Muslim rahimahullah ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said, treat your neighbor well. The least is that we do not cause him any difficulty. But then there are much more higher grades of a believer. So in order to acquire those grades, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, treat your neighbor well. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, be kind to your neighbor. And in another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said, help your neighbor whenever he is in need, and save your neighbor from any adversity that befalls him. And in one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam asked the question that do the people know their obligations towards the neighbor? Upon the Sahaba Ikram Rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain's inquiry, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the whole list. Number one, help him whenever he asks. Number two, give him a loan when he wants it. Number three, help him if he is needy. Number four, visit him in his sickness. Number five, in the event of death, accompany the funeral. Number six, on his happy occasions, congratulate him. Number seven, in adversity, console him. Number eight, do not build your house higher than his without his permission, lest the ventilation of his house is obstructed. This is one of the major points that is discussed in the Leicester City Council by the planning department when a person wants to construct a new property. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given this instruction more than 1400 years ago, that do not build your house higher than the house of your neighbor without his permission, lest the ventilation of his house is obstructed. And further, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if you buy some fruit for your household, then send some of it to him as a present. And if you cannot do so, because you don't not have the means to buy fruit for your family and for your neighbor, you do not have the financial ability. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if you cannot do so and you only have the means to buy fruit for your family only, then take the fruit into your house covered up so that your neighbor is not grieved. Your neighbor does not become the victim of inferiority complex. He does not feel that, oh, I am poor, if I had money, I would have also got fruit. And further, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that after taking that fruit, by concealing it, make sure that your children do not take the fruit out of the house and make his children grieved. These are the rights of our neighbors mentioned by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam three times took oath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he said, Wallahi la yu'min, by Allah he is not a perfect believer. Wallahi la yu'min, by Allah he is not a perfect believer. Wallahi la yu'min, by Allah he is not a perfect believer. When he said this three times, Wallahi la yu'min, Wallahi la yu'min, Wallahi la yu'min, then someone asked, O Messenger of Allah, man, who are you talking about? You are saying, Wallahi la yu'min, Wallahi la yu'min, Wallahi la yu'min, by Allah he is not a believer, by Allah he is not a believer, by Allah he is not a believer, who are you talking about? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, the person who causes suffering to his neighbor, the person who causes suffering to his neighbor cannot become a perfect believer. And Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha has narrated a hadith, and also Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا زَالَ جِبْرِيلُ يُوسِينِ بِالْجَارِ. That Jibreel alayhi salatu was salam has been repeatedly stressing upon me the rights of neighbors. Jibreel alayhi salatu was salam has repeatedly, every time he comes, he says, O Muhammad, remember the rights of the neighbors. O Muhammad, fulfill the rights of the neighbors. O Muhammad, remember your obligations towards your neighbor. Repeatedly, Jibreel alayhi salatu was salam has been stressing upon me the rights of the neighbors, so much so that I began to think that one day Jibreel is going to make him a shareholder in my inheritance. That he kept on stressing upon me to be kind to neighbors, and he kept on emphasizing the rights of neighbors, and he kept on mentioning the obligations upon me for the neighbors, that I thought to myself that one day Jibreel is going to come and say that, oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, when a person dies and he goes from this world, then with his inheritance, his neighbor will also inherit him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do not attribute any partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَبِالْوَالِدِينَ إِحْسَانًا, be good to your parents. وَبِذِ الْقُرْبَى, be good to your relatives. وَالْيَتَامَى, be good to orphans. وَالْمَسَاكِينَ, be good to poor people. وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُوبَى, and be good to your near neighbors and be good to your distant neighbors. Now who are the near neighbors and who are the distant neighbors? Near neighbor is he who lives right next to you, and distant neighbor is he who does not live right next to you. So Hazrat Hasan al-Bisri rahimahullah ta'ala was asked by somebody about the final limit of neighborhood. Who is the last neighbor? Because the near neighbor is the one who is next to you. And the Quran says that be good to your near neighbors and be good to your distant neighbors. So how far is the distant neighbor? So Sir Bisri rahmatullahi alayhi replied that 40 houses in front, 40 houses behind, and 40 houses on your right, and 40 houses on your left. These are all your neighbors. The ones right next to you are the near neighbors, and the ones after are your distant neighbors. And we understand from the hadith of Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha, Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha was only 18 when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam departed from this world. But my dear sisters, whenever we study the hadith and when we ponder over the questions that Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha used to ask
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, we, especially the academics, can very easily understand the high status of Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala amongst the Sahaba in the academic field. Here also, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse that be kind to your near neighbor and be kind to your distant neighbor, Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha asked the question, and she said, "Oh Messenger of Allah, I have two neighbors. With whom should I begin?" That means, if I am able to give something in gift only to one, who shall I give it to? I have two neighbors. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, upon this question, mentioned a principle through which the fuqaha continue to deduce masail till today. He said, the one whose door is closest to yours. So the one whose door is closest to yours is the near relative, near neighbor. And the one whose door is further than the other neighbor, that is the distant neighbor. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the right of the near neighbor is above the right of the distant neighbor. And there is another hadith regarding a woman whose way of life was described to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. The Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain said that she is very regular in tahajjud salat and she fasts regularly, but she causes inconvenience to the neighbor. She molests the neighbor. She causes harm to the neighbor. She causes hurt to the neighbor. So she is very pious as far as the ibadat are concerned. But when it comes to the muamala, then she is not perfect at all. She causes harm to the neighbor. What was the reply of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The reply of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was that due to this sin of hers, due to this evil of hers, she will enter Jahannam. And because of her iman and because of her other good deeds, after being retributed for this evil of hers, she will eventually enter Jannah. But her fasting continually and his tahajjud salat will not save her from Jahannam because of the evil that she is committing. Now here, sisters, what we need to understand is that tahajjud is nafl, and fasting excessively other than the month of Ramadan is nafl, it is optional. And not to cause harm to your neighbor is further. So when a person is heavily engaged in optional practices but does not care about the compulsory practice, the obligatory practice, then it will be very difficult for this person to enter Jannah directly without going into the fire of Jahannam. And especially if her evil or if his evil is related to a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the Shari'i principle is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive until that particular person does not forgive. And on the day of Qiyamah, majority of the people will be worried about their own fate. So they will not forgive. They will want to take from you as much as possible. So we need to be very, very careful in regard to the rights of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to be very kind to our parents. We need to be very kind to our brothers. We need to be very kind to our sisters. We need to make sure that we fulfill the rights of our parents. We fulfill the rights of our husbands. We fulfill the rights of our wives. We fulfill the rights of our neighbors. We fulfill the rights of all those who are within our household. Our sister-in-laws, our mother-in-laws, our daughter-in-laws, our father-in-laws, our fathers, our mothers, our brothers, our sisters, our friends, our muamalat, our dealing should be perfect. On the day of Qiyamah, when we stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should leave this world in such a way that none of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will stand in that court and point finger towards us and will demand something from us, because If the right of any of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on our shoulders, then it will be very, very difficult to find salvation, a direct salvation to Jannah on the day of Qiyamah. So we need to be very, very careful. So these are the two things. The third thing mentioned by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَسْمُتْ. One who believes in Allah on the day of judgment, then whatever he utters, he should utter good only. مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. One who believes in Allah on the day of judgment should only speak what is good, or else he should hold his tongue and he should remain quiet. This is the third injunction given by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And it is a very, very important injunction. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in a hadith, Man samata naja, one who remain quiet has become successful. Even in this world, those people who speak excessively, they make lot of blunders, they make lot of mistakes, and they end up in difficulties in this world as well. And because they are not careful, they will end up in difficulty in the hereafter as well. So those people who think before speaking, in Urdu we say, tol phir bol, weigh what you want to say, assess what you want to say, and thereafter speak. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said that imla'ul khayri khayrun min as-sukut. To speak good is better than remaining quiet. But wa imla'ul was-sukut khayrun min imla'i shar. But to remain quiet is better than speaking evil. So to remain quiet is better than speaking evil, but to speak good is better than remaining quiet. So what we need to do is, before speaking, we need to assess what we are saying. If it is good, then it is better to speak. And if it is evil, if it is going to cause harm to somebody, if it is going to hurt somebody's feelings, then it is better that we remain quiet. So the third thing mentioned in the hadith is the controlling of the tongue. And I was speaking in the youth majlis yesterday, and I mentioned this point, that think about the sins that any of our organs can commit. The eyes, the ears, the hands, the feet, the private parts, any sin, think about it. Think about the sins that all the organs of our bodies can commit. You will come to realize that whenever a sin is committed by the eyes, the person will immediately realize that I have committed this sin. If a person commits a sin with the ear, the person will realize that I have done this wrong. If a person physically abuses somebody with his hand, the person will immediately realize that I have committed this sin. But when it comes to tongue, a person seldom realizes how much damage he has caused. By saying one very severe sentence to his wife, how much harm he has caused to himself in the hereafter. Or by saying something very severe in an argument to a fellow Muslim, a fellow human being, he will seldom realize how much harm he has caused. He will continue, or she will continue, backbiting somebody in a gathering for 1 hour, for 2 hours. And after that gathering is over, the thought will never occur that I have used my tongue in doing something wrong, in disobeying my Creator. So it is very, very important for us to safeguard our tongues. And we must make sure that we do not say anything which brings the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Abu Zar Ghifari radiyallahu ta'ala anhu once requested Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and he said, O Messenger of Allah, give me some advice. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I advise you to always remain fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because through this, every action of yours will become desirable and every action of yours will become likable in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One who remains fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times, then whatever he will do, it will always be liked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Hazrat Abu Zar Ghifari radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said, O Messenger of Allah, give me more advice. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Abu Zar, be regular in reciting the Quran and be regular in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And further Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, because the recitation of the Quran and the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you paradise in the hereafter, and it will also provide light in your heart in this world. The light of hidayat, the light of guidance, the noor of hidayat, the noor of recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said, O Messenger of Allah, can you advise me more? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, observe silence frequently. Observe silence most often. Observe silence as much as you can, because this will keep away shaitan from you and it will help you in performing your religious duties. So Abu Zar Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala said, can you give me more advice, O Messenger of Allah? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, abstain from laughing too much. Many people have the habit of just laughing away for no reason. And they just want to laugh and laugh and laugh. They laugh too much. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that abstain from laughing too much, as it deadens the soul and reduces the luster of the face. So Abu Zar Ghifari radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said, O Messenger of Allah, give me more advice. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, speak the truth always, however bitter it may be. However bitter it may be for the listener, or however bitter it may be for you. Because sometimes it's very bitter to say haq to somebody. You love somebody very much, you do not want to offend that person, but you have to say something, then it becomes very bitter to say. So however bitter it may be for the listener, or however bitter it may be for you to say, but you must always say the truth. Hazrat Abu Zar Ghifari radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said that, can you give me more advice, O Messenger of Allah? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not fear anyone in your dealings involving Allah Ta'ala's commands. If Allah says something and somebody else tells you to do something else, then you should not fear that person. You should carry out the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was requested again by Abu Zar radiallahu ta'ala, that, O Messenger of Allah, grant me more advice. And this was the last request. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the concern and the worry of your own faults, how can I rectify my fault? I've got this fault in me, this is wrong in me, this is evil in me, how can I rectify myself? This worry and this concern should prevent you from looking at the faults of other people. Hazrat Imam Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala has stated in Ihya ul-Ulum that the tongue is one of the greatest favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He further says that it is one of his most wonderful of creations. It is very small in size, but by the exercise of this small item, one can perform great deeds like profession of faith. It is with this small tongue that a person becomes a Muslim. A person believes in everything. A person has understood everything. But until he does not proclaim the kalima, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, this person will not become a Muslim. So it is very small in size, but it is through this tongue that a person enters the fold of Islam. And it is through this tongue that a person leaves the fold of Islam. Because the person will say, I don't believe in this, I don't believe in that, I am not a Muslim anymore. Imam Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala, in his Ihya'ul Ulum, has discussed the issue of tongue in great detail, and everybody should try to study in Ihya'ul Ulum. Some of the evils of the tongue and some of the sins of the tongue that he has mentioned, I would like to mention some of them which relate to our lives. Number one, idle talk. We just sit there talking about something which is not beneficial in this world nor in the hereafter. Just idle talk. Number two, quarrels. Number three, obscene talk. Number four, abusive language. Number five, cursing someone. Number five, six, making fun of others. Number seven, disclosing people's secrets. Number eight, making false allegations. Number nine, backbiting. Number ten, slander. And asking improper questions is also an evil of the tongue. Asking questions just to confuse someone. Asking questions just to show your superiority, or asking questions just to cause inconvenience to somebody, or asking questions which have no relevance whatsoever, just stupid questions. So that is also the ill of the tongue. One Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu requested Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam for advice, and he said, "O Messenger of Allah, tell me something in regard to Islam which I will not need to ask anyone else, something very comprehensive." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "Qul amantu billah summa istaqim." He said, "Say, I believe in Allah, and thereafter remain steadfast." So he further asked, "The O Messenger of Allah, tell me something from which I should refrain, something very dangerous which I should refrain from." So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said that improper use of your tongue. Refrain from improper use of your tongue. Another Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "O Messenger of Allah, man najat, how will I be able to acquire salvation?" Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Kuffa alayka lisanak," restrain your tongue, control your tongue. "Wal yasa'ka baytuk," and remain at home, do not wander about here and there without necessity. "And wal yabki ala khati'atik," and you should continue to cry over your mistakes. You should continue to cry over your disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the wrongs that you have done. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said, "Man yadman li ma bayna lihyayhi wa ma bayna fakhidayhi adman lahul jannah." Whoever will give me guarantee against misuse of two things, and those two things are the tongue and the private parts, whoever give me the guarantee that he or she will not misuse these two things, the tongue and the private parts, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that I shall grant him or her the guarantee of paradise. A Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "What is the most important virtue which will help people enter Jannah? Which is the most important amal, which is the most important deed which will help people enter Jannah?" Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam replied, "The fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and good manners." The next question was that, "O Messenger of Allah, which deed will cause most people to enter the fire of Jahannam?" So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, "Misdeeds relating to the tongue and misdeeds relating to the private parts." Hazrat Muaz radiallahu ta'ala anhu requested Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for some advice. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the advice. He said, "Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as though you see him." If you are seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how meticulous and how particular you would have been in regard to the injunctions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how careful you would have been in your prayers. So he said, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if you could see him. And he further said, consider yourself among the dead. Consider, always think to yourself that I could die any second, I will die tomorrow. What will happen to me when I am dead? What will happen to me when people will place me in the grave? What will happen to me when I will be resurrected on the day of Qiyamah? What will happen to me when I will have to answer? Allah said, shall I tell you something? If you practice, you will get a grip of these two things. You will get a grip over these two things if you practice. So Hazrat Muaz radiyallahu ta'ala said, why not, O Messenger of Allah? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam made a gesture towards his own tongue and he said, safeguard your tongue. Take care of this tongue. Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned a very beautiful statement. He said that if speech is silver, then silence is gold. If speech is silver, then silence is gold. We are all aware of the wise Hazrat Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam. He was very famous for his wisdom. Someone asked him that, were you not the slave of such and such a person? So Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam said, yes. So the next question was, are you not the same person who used to graze goats at the foot of such and such a mountain? Were you not a shepherd? So you are a slave of somebody? He said, yes. And you are a shepherd grazing goats? So Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam said, yes. So the person asked him that you were a slave and you were a shepherd. How did you attain this high position? You are so wise that everybody talk about your wisdom. So Hazrat Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam said that I have attained this high status through four things. Number one, fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, always speaking the truth. Number three, always being trustworthy. And number four, by preferring silence over useless talk. I have attained this status through four things, one of which is by preferring silence over useless talk. Let us make a firm resolution that inshallah, we will also think before we talk. We will weigh and we will assess what we want to say. Hazrat Bara ibn Azib radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that a Bedouin, a villager, came into the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam and he said, O Messenger of Allah, can you tell me which deeds will take me into Jannah? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, give food to the hungry, drink water, give water to the thirsty, tell people to do good and prevent people from evil. And if you are unable to do all this, then restrain your tongue from uttering anything but good, that will take you in Jannah. If you are unable to feed people, if you are unable to give water to people, if you are unable to call people towards good, if you are unable to prevent people from evil, if you are unable to do all this, then control your tongue, restrain your tongue from uttering anything that is evil and speak always good, inshallah this will take you in Jannah. There is a hadith wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned the dua which is known as the kaffaratul majlis, the expiation of sins committed in a majlis. And that does not necessarily mean that we sit in a majlis and commit as many sins as possible and thereafter read this dua and the sins will be forgiven. What it means is that the major sins are not forgiven without tawbah. We have to sincerely repent and ask Allah's forgiveness. Minor sins, if committed out of mistake, overcome by nafs, overcome by circumstances, and you have done something which is of a minor category, and sometimes we do not even realize that I have done something wrong, then before getting up from the majlis, if we recite this dua, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have all our sins forgiven. And now very shortly, the fourth injunction of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He said, "Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir falyasil rahimahu." One who believes in Allah and one who believes in the Day of Judgment should be kind to his relatives. He should be kind to his kinsfolk. So here we have four commands from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. One is, we need to be good to our guests. We need to be hospitable. Number two, we need to make sure that we do not cause any difficulty to our neighbor. Number three, we need to control our tongues. And number four, we need to be good to our relatives and good to our kinsfolk. The great theologian, Hazrat Abu Lays Samarqandi Rahmatullahi Alayhi has said that 10 rewards are priceless. There are 10 rewards which are priceless for the person who is good to his relative, who is good to his kinship. And I will conclude by quoting these 10 priceless rewards for being good to the family, good to the relatives, good to the kinship. Number one, it wins the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, it promotes happiness amongst the kith and kin. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that the best of deeds is to make a Muslim happy. So if to make a Muslim happy is the best of deed, then imagine how great a deed will be when you make a mother happy, when you make a father happy, when you make your uncles happy, when you make your in-laws happy, when you make your relatives happy. The third reward for being kind to relatives is that the angels also feel happy about it. And the fourth reward is that the Muslims praise the one who keeps it up. And the fifth reward is shaitan is grieved by it. And the sixth benefit is it brings prolongation of life. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that man ahabba an yumsada lahu fi rizqihi wa an yumsa lahu fi atharihi. One who wishes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants barakah in his sustenance, in his risk, and one who wishes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants barakah in his life, falyasil rahimahu, then he should be good to his relatives. It also enhances the means of livelihood, as mentioned in the hadith. It brings happiness to the dead when they come to know about it. The forefathers, the grandfathers, when they know, when they are told by angels that your springs are living in good harmony, so it brings happiness to their souls as well. It strengthens mutual help, because when you do good to someone, then he would also help you wholeheartedly. And one will benefit from it after his death, as the beneficiaries will always remember him with good wishes and prayers. If we are kind to our relatives, then when we depart from this world, then the relatives will all remember us after we depart. So sisters, these are the four injunctions, four commands that we have learned today from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we can only become perfect believers if we adhere to these four commands. One is, we should be hospitable to the guest. When guests comes to our house, we should entertain him according to our ability, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us. And number two, we need to make sure that the least we should do is not to cause any harm to our neighbor. And whatever good we can do to our neighbor, alhamdulillah, it will bring a lot of reward in the hereafter. And number three, we should only speak what is good. And what is filthy, what is evil, what is wrong, what is disobedience, we should not speak. And number four, we should be good to our relatives, we should be good to our kings and our kith, and we should try to make sure that whilst following all these four commands, we try to follow the whole deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Alhamdulillah.
لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك، يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها، أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم أصلح لنا ديننا الذي هو عصمة أمرنا، وأصلح لنا دنيانا التي فيها معاشنا، وأصلح لنا آخرتنا التي إليها معادنا، واجعل الحياة زيادة لنا في كل خير، واجعل الموت راحة لنا من كل شر. اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان، وأمتنا على الإيمان، واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع المتقين مع الإيمان. اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى، اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى، اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من جهد البلاء ودرك الشقاء وسوء القضاء وشماتة الأعداء. اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولأساتذتنا ولمشائخنا ولأقاربنا ولمن يحب ويحسن إلينا ولمن له حق علينا ولمن أوصانا بالدعاء ولجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات، إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات. وصلى الله على خير خلقه سيدنا ومولانا محمد وآله وسلم.